we're meant to have effective prayer. You guys believe that? I mean, I don't believe that God wants us to just pray just to put in time. I don't believe that he just, well, you know what, I know you got other things to do, but you need to put me first, so pray. No, I believe when we pray, he wants it to be effective, right? He wants it to be powerful. He wants it to be life-changing, world-changing. I mean, prayer is power. Amen? I hope you believe that today. But when we pray like that, I believe that we will see not only our own lives changed, but the lives of those around us. And if we see the lives of those around us changed, we're going to see our community changed. We're going to see our world changed. Are you believing for that? I hope so. R.A. Torrey shared this. He said that when the devil sees a man or woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when the devil sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that church or community is at an end. That's powerful. Satan knows that when he sees the people of God praying, when he sees a church on its knees, when he sees people weeping in tears and not just praying for, I need provision in my life, but all these things that we've went over, when he sees true, genuine, heartfelt prayer, he knows that his time is over. He knows that he's done. Isn't that what we want in our lives? I mean, we want the power and the presence of Jesus, but you know what? When we have the power and the presence of Jesus, the enemy has to flee, right? And prayer is that weapon. Prayer is the way that we get to that place in our lives. And today, I'm believing that today is the day that we're going to declare that Satan's time in this church is at an end. Amen? I believe that today is the day that we're going to be able to declare that Satan's time in our community is at an end. Amen? I'm believing for this today, church. And as we wrap up this series, I believe it's going to be powerful. I believe that what we do today right here is going to shake the heavens. It's going to shake the earth. And what's great is it's not going to be my words, right? It's going to be yours. For those that haven't been here, we're going to take some time here in just a moment. And we're going to testify. We're going to continue praising God and give testimony of what he's done in our lives and show his power and who he is. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, the Lord's Prayer that we've been going through. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When you pray, right? We've gone through these things the last few weeks. This is kind of, for me, this is mostly a recap today. But know that when you pray, know God is loving. Know that he is Father. Know that he's always there. Know that he always is waiting with open arms. Know that he wants to pull us close to him. Know that he's holy, right? So he's above all things. We've been singing even about the name of Jesus today. And the name of Jesus, again, above every other name. Know that there's no God like our God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? There's no God that is like our God. And know that he's supernatural, yet as children, we are brought near to him, that there's that closeness. Man, I tell you what, some people are really drawn to the supernatural, and some people are really freaked out by the supernatural. But you know what? The supernatural of God is what we ought to be drawn to. The supernatural of the enemy, all the junk and the garbage that's in most of the horror movies, should be what freaks us out. We should want to stay away from that. That is cling to what is good and abhor what is evil and stay away from that garbage. Okay? When you pray, know that Jesus is King. Hallelujah. Know that one day he will reign right here on this earth. He will. He will reign. And when he is king, all of the land will come into submission under the king, under his rule, under his authority. But know that today he can reign in you. And he can reign through you and in the things that you do, in the areas of influence that you have in your life. When you pray, know that God has plans and desires for you, right? I think we believe sometimes that God has plans and desires for someone else. That's pretty easy to do, right? It's okay. God has a plan. God has things for you to do. And then when it comes to us, I think sometimes it's easy to forget. You know what? God has a plan for me too. He has desires for me too. And you know what? Those plans and those desires are greater than any plans or desires that you may have for yourself, no matter how great those things might be. Do you believe that today? I mean, I tell you what, my life, I am not right now where I ever thought I would be in my life. But I'll tell you what, this is better than any plans or desires that I ever had for my life. God has a plan. He has desires. And when we submit ourselves to his Spirit, those things will be carried out in our lives. Know that when you pray that Jesus is provider, right? He provides for your physical needs. He provides for the things that you need in life. He uses resources, opportunities, instruction. And know that all that you have, he has allowed you to have. And praise God, hopefully he will continue to allow you to have. That's his blessing, his provision in our lives. Know that when you pray that God will forgive every single time that you ask. Say every single time. Every single time that you ask, God is faithful to forgive, right? He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't keep a record of what you've done wrong. If you've asked for forgiveness, it's wiped clean. What I love too is that, you know, God doesn't just have a bad memory, right? I have a bad memory. I'll just forget that you did something at some point. God doesn't have a bad memory. He actually actively chooses to forget. He says, I'm not going to remember that. By choice, by design, that's the way he does it. I'm going to choose not to remember it. And he will forgive you every time that you ask. His grace is abundant. His love is unfailing. And as we experience that grace and that love in our lives, we won't be able to help but pour that out on others. And then when you pray, know that God will not send you anywhere that he's not willing to go with you. This is part of what we covered last week in Do Not Lead Us Into Temptation, but Deliver Us from the Evil One. God will not lead you in any place in your life that he is not willing to go with you. And sometimes we're tempted, but know that he's with you. Know that if we're submitted to Jesus, know that he'll deliver us from evil. He'll protect us. And as we've been singing, Jesus is victory. Amen? All right? Jesus is victory. When we pray like this, God will move in our lives. That's not really, you know, I mean, that's a certainty. He will move in your life when you're praying like what we've been studying over the last several weeks. And he ends this prayer, Jesus does, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. That last line was, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." See, with the closing like this, it kind of takes all these things that we've looked at and we've studied and we've learned about God, who he is and what he does, and all these amazing ways that he works. And really what we've been looking at is about, a lot of this is about our mindset. What are we asking for? What are we expecting? What are we desiring? Is it rooted in truth, right? Or is it rooted in our own fleshly desire? Is it rooted in what the Bible says, or is it rooted in what the devil tells us? Is it rooted in how we feel? All these different things. When we pray these truths, when we look at prayer in these ways, Jesus says, for the kingdom is yours forever. The kingdom is yours. The glory is yours. The power is yours. This is how Jesus tells us to pray. It turns our prayer back to praise. Right? We've been through all these different things that we can ask for, all these things we can expect of God. And you know what? They ought to get us to a place of praise. That's what we've been doing today. We've been singing about, man, how good and how great God is. And that's why I asked, do you guys have something to praise for today? Because if you don't, then I think you've missed the last 7 weeks or whatever. We all have something to praise for. We all have something to be thankful for in our lives because God is at work in all of our lives. Do you know that? I hope you recognize how he's working in your life because he is at work. So he turns back to praise at the end of this. I told Christy and the kids the other day. We were in the car, and you guys know I'm kind of weird. Okay, most of you know me pretty well, so I'm kind of strange. But that song, "Every Blessing You Pour Out, I'll Turn Back to Praise," for some reason I always picture it like, hey, thanks, you know, like turning back, like turning back and looking at it. And the other day I was like, that's not what it means. It means you take the blessing and you turn the blessing back into praise. You take what God has given you and you give it right back to him, right? So through the blessing in your life, how long has that song been out? Since like 1990, right? So it's only taken me a couple of years to kind of get it, what that means. But God finally gave me a revelation. You know, I've been waiting all this time. Really, I've just been stubborn. But we take the blessing that he pours out in our life, and what we're supposed to do with it is turn it back into praise. We're supposed to take the blessing and be like, you know what? I don't even deserve this. But Lord, thank you. Listen, I'm going to tell you how great my God is. Look what he's done for me. Look what he's done in my life. And you know what? He can do the same for you. Or you know what? Maybe he's going to do something even better in your life, probably. But you know what? It doesn't make my blessing any less. Look at these blessings, and I'm going to praise him for them, for each and every one. My God is amazing. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Do you know that there's no end to Jesus' kingdom? Right? It's forever. Forever means there's no end to that time. And it's Jesus, not Satan, will rule and reign eternity. Jesus will reign for this endless amount of time. Do you know that the power belongs to him forever? The power belongs to Jesus right now, today, and forever. It's his. The power to change lives. The power over sin and death. The power over every spiritual and physical thing. That's why even when we're praying, and Cheryl's praying things like for physical healing in these people's lives, it's because you know what? Jesus has the power over the spiritual and over the physical things. It's his power, and it will be his power forever. He has the power to break every chain. He has the power that there's no end to that power. You know what? He's not going to run out. Isn't that glorious? I mean, isn't that something to praise? That's something to praise in and of itself right there, that, you know what? His power never runs out. Do you know that the glory is his as well? Again, he should get the credit for every blessing as the blesser. He's the one to praise for what he's done, because it's by his provision, by his power. He will be glorified forever. He is holy. He is good. He is just. He is mighty. He's glorious. And we're going to praise him today here in just a moment. And so today what I want to do is I want to praise him with our testimonies, okay? A testimony, when we share a testimony, it's we're testifying not of how bad we were, but of how good God is. Okay, now sometimes you got to tell about what you've been through, okay? I'm just saying sometimes testimony ends up being more about the person than it does about Jesus. Well, that's not glorifying God, okay? And again, you got to share what you've been through. I'm just saying we're going to testify about how great God is. Because when we testify about how great he is, what we're doing is we are praising him, because we're saying, you know what? Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not what I was. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not still stuck where I was. When me and Pastor Dan get together and we talk and we pray for each other, I mean, I'm not even kidding you. Every single time, one of us will be like, man, isn't it amazing where God has brought us from? Isn't it amazing, like, the track that we were on, and that God, in his ultimate sovereign power, that he reached down and pulled us out of the lifestyle we're in, out of the path we're in. He corrected our path. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it glorious? I mean, we talk about it all the time. I hope you can see that in your life. And so today, and you can start to line up now. If you got something that you can give God some praise for and testify, I want you to begin to line up in the row, mainly because I don't want to have a bunch of awkward silence where nobody wants to get up. If nobody's given, we'll just end it. So begin to come up and sit down. I got just something brief I'm going to share, and we're going to get rolling on this. C.S. Lewis had shared this. He said that it takes a community of people to get to know an individual person. Okay, and I'm going somewhere with this. This has to do with our testifying today. It takes a community of people to get to know an individual person. So Lewis had friends he was really close with. Some of them are very, very famous people, but J.R.R. Tolkien, Charles Williams, Owen Barfield, these others, and they would get together often. And this is what Lewis said. C.S. Lewis said that some aspects of his friend's personality were only brought out through interaction with the second friend. And so if you think about this, you might realize that a person you know might act slightly different when alone with you versus when in a larger group. And his point was, he said, by myself, I am not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all of his facets. And his point here is that this is what we need from God. This is part of why we do testimonies, because you know what? Sometimes we have a limited experience and a limited knowledge of God, and we kind of think we've got him all figured out. But you know what? We need to hear what he's done in this person's life and what he's done in that person's life. And as a group, we can kind of get more of a picture of the whole of who he is, because we hear about, man, I had never even knew that God could do something like that. I never even would have thought about that. I mean, you're going to hear somebody's going to give praise for something. You're going to be like, huh, I would have never thought to praise God for that. I just kind of thought like that was mine. I just had that, right? But you learn about different facets of God as we come together. And so that's what we're going to do. He wrapped that up by saying we should pray and praise together, because the more we share the heavenly bread between us, the more we shall have. Jesus is worthy of our praise. And so we're going to praise him for what he has done. And so again, if you guys are wanting to do that, as of right now, we're going to be done here in like 10 minutes. But if you guys want to come and add to the line, go right ahead. And so I'm just going to ask you, now we are recording this. If you do not want yours recorded, just don't use the microphone and you'll just have to speak up loud. So
I want to give God praise for a couple things he's done in my life. I started drinking alcohol at about 12 or 13, and it was something that it really became a crutch for me in my life. I had a lot of anxiety and stuff, and that's the way I dealt with it. And by the time I was probably 15, it was an addiction, and it really caused a lot of problems in my marriage and my personal life. And probably around the age of 25, I really recognized it, and I had young kids by that time, and I was really struggling trying to quit. I had gotten back into the church, was serving in the church, and it was something that I'd really felt guilty about, but it was also something that I just couldn't get away from. I tried AA, I tried different things, worldly things to quit, and there were times I might quit for a month or two, but I was always white-knuckling it, just trying to get through another day, and it just really sucked. I mean, it really did, and it was something I was just truly ashamed of. And finally, I remember one night I had gotten to a point I was just so convicted about it, but I couldn't seem to fix it, so I just got on my knees before God and just told him, you know, if you want me to quit this, you're going to have to do it. I can't do it. I've tried. You've seen what I've tried. You know my heart in this. And it was an amazing thing, because something broke. I mean, you can't explain it unless you've been there, but something changed. And I remember telling my wife, you know, something's different. I quit. And that was July the 4th of 2003. And not only did I quit drinking, but the next day the desire to use alcohol or to use tobacco left too. So not only did I quit drinking, but I also quit using tobacco within a couple days' time. And it was such an amazing thing in my life that actually I went through a period of depression, because it was such a big change for me that I didn't know. I kind of had to find my identity. Unfortunately, God really opened my heart to his word and studying his word at that time. And I know Melissa knows, at that time I had books coming in the mail like a couple times a week. I was ordering off of christianbook.com, and I just dove into God's word. And you know, the Bible talks about when you get those spirits out, you got to fill that space or they come back. And I did that. But I just want to testify that I have not had a desire to drink in all of that time, and that's an amazing thing, and that's something that only God could do, because Every time I tried on my own, I could not get away from it. I could not do it in the flesh. It had to be God. And one other thing I want to talk about, too, is just I've always struggled with anxiety and fears. And, you know, and that's something that I finally learned in my life, to turn that trust over to God. And I think one of the biggest things was a fear of death. And I don't know if anybody here struggles with that, but that's something that I didn't realize just how afraid of it I was till I faced it a couple times and, you know, lost family members and stuff. So I actually did a Bible study here on death and really dove into it and faced death head on. And that's something that God's delivered me from, too. And it was a big thing in my life. And I can say now I'm ready to go at any time. I look forward to meeting my Maker. I love my family. I love my life. But at the same time, I am honestly ready to go and see the Lord. So I just want to praise God for what he's done. Thank you.
Mine's a little different, but have you ever put God off for a while? I'm pretty good at that. I can, God puts things on my heart and I'm like, I don't really think that was God, or it doesn't really. So I, about maybe, I don't even know, 3 or 5 years ago, I don't really remember exactly when it was, but God had put it on my heart to start a Bible study at school and to teach on the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, that is too hard and I'm not doing it. And I just kind of bowled up and I'm like, so I put him off and and kind of said no. And so another teacher started Bible study at school. And so he got the Bible study going, and there was several, probably 6 to 10 people that were coming on a regular basis. And it was great. And I'm thinking, yay, I got out of it. I don't have to do it. God raised up somebody else. And anyway, teacher that was there left this year. The one that was leading Bible study, he got a job as principal and moved out of our district. And so again, God kind of nudged me like, hey, you're supposed to take over this Bible study. And I'm like, I don't think so. And so anyway, I did. I finally, like, okay, I will do it. And we started in November, and God has been in it. It's been really awesome. I felt the Spirit of God in it pretty well every week that we've been there. It's been really, really good. And then a couple weeks ago, God put it on my heart to go pray for this teacher, and she's a Catholic, and so I'm giving God all these excuses. I don't want to offend her. I don't want to do. And so I finally went this week. So I went from 3 years of disobedience. Now I'm cutting it back to 3 weeks. So anyway, I did go and pray for her, and God was in it. God showed up, and it was awesome. So I just want to encourage you. Years ago, I also heard this word, delayed obedience is disobedience. And it is disobedience, but I want to give God praise because he is faithful to give us a second chance. And he forgives us when we fail him. And he gives us second opportunities. And if there's something you've been putting God off on, go for it, because it'll be a blessing to you.
I feel like mine is a little bit of a different testimony, because it's not just something that God did, but is still in the midst of doing. And I really struggled with, I almost was like, I'm not doing it with the microphone, because while this is, you guys are my family, and I'm like, I'm supposed to say this in front of my church family, the reminder that it's going out there for everybody to hear was a little bit harder. But I feel like it's a message that God wants to get out there, even to people in our community that might be listening, or whoever goes online and listens to this. People need to know that God is still at work, even sometimes when we don't see him. So, I have struggled on and off with depression in my life for years, like honestly about as far back as I can remember. But the last few years have been especially hard. I want you to hear this. I'm going to say some things out loud because I feel like these statements need to be said, along with the fact that I was going through depression, like serious depression. So I am a born again, true believer who is suffering from depression. I'm the wife of a pastor who is suffering from depression. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I was suffering from depression. I believe these lies that I couldn't be some of those things and still be going through depression. But here's what people need to know is that, unfortunately, being a believer does not just immediately erase all of your problems. And I wanted it to. There was a part of me that believed that. And I heard testimonies like Bud's, where it was like an overnight thing. And praise God that he does that, because in some people's lives, that's what it takes, and that's how he works. And I've seen different situations in my life where he's worked that quickly. But this was not one of those. And I fought with feelings of like, God's not working in this. I'm never going to be healed from this. Maybe I'm not even really saved. All kinds of things, all kinds of doubts, unbelief. But here's what I've seen. God has been with me through it all, even when I believed that I was alone, even when Satan was whispering in my ear, telling me that things were hopeless. I've seen God use my husband over and over again when I came to him and I was telling him what a hard day I was having or the feelings I was going through. He never judged me. He was always there for me. And somehow the words that he would speak would bring encouragement, just that little bit of light that I needed to, okay, somehow this is going to be okay. I started seeing a counselor, and man, like, she would get goosebumps. We would be talking and she's like, I can feel God in this. And God used that counselor to speak to me. He was speaking things to her. And I think that's something else that people need to know. Like, seeing a counselor is not unchristian. He also has recently used medication, and I believe that that is from God. I've had peace about that decision. There are things going on internally that medication addresses. And where do you think that came from? Like, God has given man the wisdom to be able to create that medication to address physical things. When Adam and Eve fell, our God was so good to clothe them, even though they were the ones that had fallen. They were the ones that were ashamed, and yet God made clothes for them. And that's God's grace, and this is God's grace as well. Even though we live in a fallen and broken world where there's health issues, God has grace on us and gives us wisdom to be able to address those things. And so I've seen him working in that. I've seen him working in a connection that I've made with another believer in this church that I reached out to and have started meeting with her, and she's pouring truth into me. And I've seen, you know, he speaks through that. And just in the fact that I need to be honest about the point that my depression had got to, I was actually having suicidal thoughts, and just the fact that God kept me from hurting myself. He protected me there. I know that God was still with me. This isn't getting too long, but I feel like there's certain things I need to say. But I just need people to know that sometimes our healing and our deliverance is not immediate, and it doesn't mean that God's not working. It doesn't mean it's not still testimony. When we can see evidence of all of these things, those are still testimonies. It's testimony that he hasn't left us. It's testimony that, you know, he's used my husband to encourage me and bring light into my life, you know, to go on another day and be able to find joy in it. And this is a verse that God has just reminded me of over and over again, but it's Philippians 1:6. The second part of it says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And some versions say, will carry it on to completion. God is not done with you. He is still writing your story. You may have testimony of what God's already done, and maybe he's still in the midst of working. It doesn't mean it's not still a testimony. So I'm believing that this is testimony for me with my depression. I'm to a point where I'm not feeling hopeless anymore. And I'm having many more good days than bad. And all of that is a testimony that God is at work in my life. He's carrying on the completion of the healing of my depression. And he's not going to be done until Jesus Christ returns. Our sanctification is a lifelong process. And God can still use you in the midst of this. God has used me to minister to other people's lives, even though I was hurting, even though I was going through my own things. So don't think that just because God is still at work in your testimony, that doesn't mean that you can't still be pouring into other people's lives, that he can't still be using you to minister to others as well.
That's an awesome praise right there. Well, I'm coming from a totally different place than that. Hopefully I don't make you guys cry. She about made me cry there. Anyway, I'm going to kind of go from the point of being a giver. When I very first started coming to church, my sister kept inviting me, and I wouldn't come. I was very hypocritical of the church, just like probably a lot of people are out in this community. When I first started coming to church, I came to church, I just showed up. Then they started passing a plate around, and I'm like, I ain't giving you my money. I'm like, I've worked for that. Why you need my money? There's all kinds of people here. Take their money, you know? That was my outlook as a non-Christian at the time. Of course, as I come to church, I'm like, well, maybe I'm going to put a little on the plate. And, you know, over time, God has worked on me as a giver, and to know that where I was at of not wanting to totally give because I felt like it was my money. And now in my life, I realize that it's his money. He provides it to me. He provides me a job. He provides me a home. He is the one that is the giver of all those things to me. So as me being grateful for what he's given to me, I give back. And I gave a testimony at the last board meeting. I kind of took a step of faith last year and gave more than what I feel like I normally give. And I really didn't feel like it was hard, I guess. I just did it. And I wasn't thinking in my mind, if I give this, how am I going to be taken care of? I guess I just was fine with it, knowing that I knew God was going to take care of me. We just did our taxes just this last month, and the amount of money that we got back in taxes, like, it was like twice as much as what we got back last year. And it just blew my mind because I'm like, that is how God takes care of us. We give to him because he provides for us. And in return, we get back too. I wasn't just expecting to get money, but he provides for us in all kinds of ways. But we have to be the ones that are faithful because he's always been faithful to us. That's just a small portion of giving back. And it's not even just money. It's time. It's serving in this church. It's visiting people in their homes. It's making somebody a meal. It's just showing somebody you care. That is what God does through us. And I'm so grateful that he's worked in me because I've made a big change in my life compared to what I was before. I only cared about Crystal. And now Crystal tends to care about others. So I'm thankful for him that he does work in our lives and that he can use somebody to do that. And it's not, I don't care if you think that you can't talk to somebody, God can still use you. So don't be afraid, you guys.
I was the one starting that, and then I was like, well, so. I want to give a brief testimony on prophecy and on God's Holy Spirit, his alive and active Holy Spirit in your life. I was born and raised Catholic, and we always prayed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but never really understood what that meant. And I know Scripture. I know it by heart. I didn't know what it meant, but I know Scripture. I can go to a Catholic service right today. I can sit in that service and I can say verbatim every word, every prayer, you know. And those words, when I was introduced to the Holy Spirit, those scriptures they were activated inside of my life whenever the Spirit of God became alive. So read your Bible, understand Scripture, be in Bible studies, do that stuff, and pray for God and the Holy Spirit to come alive. And I say all that to say this. I would often find myself in a Catholic service, and I would be sitting in the pew, and I would hear a song, and the Spirit of God was on these songs, you know, and it moved me to, like, I'd be like, I don't have any idea what's going on, but this feels good, right? Like, I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was, you know, and it was mostly through song. It was a lot through whenever we were greeting. There's always a time where you offer peace to one another, and, you know, shaking hands and hugging someone and saying peace be with you. Just really was like it was like God was in that. And but I also remember I'm not like a musician. I lead worship, but I'm not a musician. I never had a desire to be a rock star. Although my Axl Rose is pretty good, but I thought I was him. I wore the bandana in the back. Anyway, I was a big, and I think Tim will testify this, but Michael Jackson was the guy when we were kids, right? So it was like Michael Jackson, you know? And I would, and this is where prophecy is coming in. I would sit in a pew, and they would be singing songs, you know, and I would envision myself being on a stage singing, right? Michael Jackson songs, but nonetheless, not like the hymns, but like singing on a stage, you know? And it was like, I could see myself doing that, but I never was like, no one in my family sings, no one in my family's musicians, you know, my immediate. So, and I went through high school and I never had a desire to be, you know, I want to be in a band. I never was in band in school. I never was in none of that stuff. Started coming here and started hearing, worship songs that had meaning behind them, and hymnals even Pass It On. I mean, that's like the most Spirit-filled song. Like, that was the song. And this is so cool that Mercy Me's I Can Only Imagine, that was the song. That was the one I heard, and I was like, it put it in perspective of what we're going to see when we see God, when we meet God. And there's a movie coming out about that, and it's so cool, and the story behind it. But I never had any desire to be a worship leader. Never proclaimed to be a worship leader. In fact, I felt like I was to be a support. I was singing on the worship team, and we sang, and I stood there and I sang, and it was cool. And then, you know, it was like, God's like, hey, you need to learn how to play the guitar. I'm like, guitar? So got a guitar and started playing. Didn't figure it out. It sat for several months. And one of our daughters is like, hey, I want to learn how to play the guitar. So I went out and spent like $17 on new strings, got it restrung. She took one lesson and decided to quit. Well, I don't like to waste money. I spent $17. So I'm like, well, somebody's going to use it. So I picked the guitar back up and I started playing again. And then it kind of came to me, you know, and it was like, okay, still not interested in being worship leader, being worship support. I felt like I lead in enough areas that I just want to be a part of something where I can just help out. And so did that, you know. We needed an acoustic guitar player, filled a void, sang a little bit. And, you know, it wasn't until the opportunity became, the worship leader position was open. And, even at that time, it was like, would you like to be the worship leader? I was like, I don't know, you know, let me pray about that, because I need to hear this from God. This isn't like, this is never something that I was like wanting to, I was wanting to pursue. I always wanted to just be support. And the position, you know, was offered to me, and I was like, let me pray about it, prayed about it. And I felt like God said, I'm going to provide what you need to lead this house in worship. And I was like, okay, then if that's what it is, then I'll do it. And I'm like, but there's people that play better and there's people that sing better. And, you know, and he's like, this is what I have for you right now. And no one can do it better than you right now. And I'm not saying there's not better. I'm not saying that there's anybody better. I'm better than anyone. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when God gives you a mission, you need to embrace that. And that's the attitude that you need to take, is that God has assigned me to do this. And, you know, and if it's God's will, he will provide you everything that you need in order to take care of that. And I even told Tim, I said, well, I'll definitely lead. I don't know, you know, if this is my full-time gig. And honestly, here we are 5 years later. We're still leading worship, a wonderful worship team. We've seen people come. We've seen people go. We've seen people grow. It's been an amazing experience. And honestly, the best part about leading worship is my practice time at the house, is whenever my true worship experience has happened. I love it because I hear my children singing worship songs, my wife, the house is flooded with worship, you know, God's praises. And along that note, you know, he has given me the grace to be able to sing and play music to his glory, because I have tried to sing secular songs and play secular songs, and they're not good. I'm not saying this is great, but I'm saying it's like, I just don't have it, you know? It's like, God's covering is from 10 o'clock to 10:40 on Sunday mornings, and after that, dude, you're on your own. You can sing out of the flesh, but it's an honor to serve this church in the role that I've been so blessed to be able to serve. Appreciate you guys. And like I said, what I want you to come out of this is, if God has planted a seed inside of you, whether you recognize it or not, but, you know, when I was a young boy, he's like, you're going to be singing on a stage one day. And I don't even know what that, I didn't know what that meant, you know, but I do now. And it's all for his glory. It's for his purpose. And it's to bring him praise for what he has done in my life. So I thank him for that.
Amen. Well, I think that those are some awesome testimonies, don't you? And what I love is, and I heard a couple of you say that, well, mine's a little bit different. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? I mean, everybody's testimony is their testimony, and it doesn't matter. I've heard people give testimony that have grown up in the church and they've never drank or done drugs or sex outside of marriage. They have this list of all these things they haven't done, and it's like, that's a testimony, right? It's a testimony that God has worked in your life from a young age to shield you from making a lot of the mistakes that some of us made, all of those mistakes. And so that's a testimony. So testimonies are supposed to be different. And I love that some of ours were what God did years ago. Some of them are what God did last week. Some of them are what God's doing right now, because that is all true. It's like when I first started, if you remember this, we did a praise concert at the shed. I don't remember what we called it, but a praise concert there, and we had all the pastors in town came and kind of gave their testimony of salvation, how they came to know the Lord, what God has done in your life. And I did that, and then I was doing the same thing at camp a couple years later, and, you know, part of me was like, well, I'll just, you know, I wrote it down, because I knew if I don't have it written down, I know how far off track I can get. So I was like, I'll just print that out and just share that again. And I started reading it, and I was like, man, but God's done a lot more than that in my life. Like, I got to rewrite this. I can't just rehash what I shared the last time, because there's things you leave out, there's things you forget, and there's things that God has done more recently. So I'm going to share just a couple of things briefly, and then we're going to close out in worship again. But, you know, God has done some great things in my life. There's some things that God has freed me from, and some of you have heard some of this before, but, you know, I suffered from extreme anger. I mean, like Xander said the other day that, you know, some boy at school punched his locker, and I was like, or punched something because he was angry, and I was like, that was me. Like, I punched everything. I remember I had a dent in my locker, I had a dent in my car, you know, I mean, it was like everything I had was dented from me punching it, from when I got angry. And many of you remember, some of you were even here, and I came right down this aisle, and Saturday night got prayer almost in this exact spot, because I was suffering with anger, just blowing up about everything. And I got prayer for that. I felt great about it. Went home that night, woke up the next morning, and me and Christy got in an argument. I never punched my wife. I just want to get that out there. That it happens, but I didn't do that. Praise God. That's a praise. That's a testimony and a praise that it didn't get to that extent. But I remember we got in an argument before church, and I sat out on my porch and cried. And I was like, Lord, I thought last night you freed me of this and you delivered me. And what is going on? And so that morning, I came to the altar again. Listen, you guys, I don't care. If I go to a conference and they say we're going to pray for people that think they're gay, I'll go down. I don't care. I don't care what the altar calls for. If somebody's going to pray for me, I'll take prayer. So that's kind of my mindset. And I was like, I have a need. I'm going to the altar again. I'm getting prayer again. And right here in this spot again, I was prayed for and I felt it. I physically felt a weight lifted off of me and deliverance. And praise God, from that day on, I mean, I literally have been delivered of anger, and I don't deal with that where I fly off the handle and punch everything anymore. And so God's delivered me of that. I remember maybe where Vicky's at, or maybe a spot or two in front of her, I was right there during worship praying for somebody that was across the aisle from me and praying for them because I knew some things that were going on in their life. This is on a Saturday night service. And while I was standing right there, I was suffering severe pains in my knees. I have psoriasis. And a lot of times with that, you also have some form of arthritis. And so I had severe pain in my knees and, you know, was taking medication for it. It wasn't working. And standing right there, I got done praying, worship was over, I sat down, and I realized I didn't have pain in my knees anymore and haven't had it since. I mean, praise God. So I've had God do amazing things where he's healed me emotionally, things that I deal with in my mind, but also things in my body, and then, of course, my spirit. Listen, I was the kid that the only time I went to church is if I could terrorize somebody. Right? I was the kid at church, at the Baptist church, at a lock-in, in the basement with the lights off, I'm not going to call out the other person. Me and another person you probably know from town. And we would throw like spit wads, like whole pieces of paper, spit wads up into the fan. And so the fan would shoot it around while people are sleeping. And that's the kind of things I went to church for. And you know what? Just through what can be seen as a random chain of events, but really I know that it was God working. You know, we came here because we wanted to get married. And, you know, our families were Catholic. We had a baby, so the Catholic Church wouldn't marry us. We came here for that originally. And then we quit coming, and, you know, Sherry had invited us to come back. I remember her and Kaylee coming and bringing cookies to our door when we'd quit coming to church. And, you know, Christy then got me to come back. It was just like a lot of seeds were planted over years. But then there was just a time where, again, it was like, Vicky, that's the spot right there. I don't know why nobody sits in front of you, because standing right there, I remember having just an encounter with God that I still to this day cannot put into words and I cannot explain, except that I knew that his presence was here and I knew that he had something better for my life than just the good life, the good American life that I was living. And my life has been radically different spiritually ever since. And so God's done it. And you know, I got a million other things I could share, but just know that God is at work and God will continue to work in our lives, just like we've heard here today. So we got a lot of things to give God praise for. And if I can get the worship team to come up, we're going to close out in worship. But I want to share this quote by D.L. Moody. It said, I don't care where it is, what part of the world it's in. If we have a praise church, we have successful Christianity. He doesn't care where you're at, what part of the world you're in or anything, but if we have a church that is a praise church, if we have a church that is like, you know what, I'm giving glory to God for what he's done in my life, then we have sincere Christianity. We have the real deal in our lives. And so I just want to encourage you that if you have a need today, I want you to come forward and, you know what, praise God. Praise God for what he's already done, and just believe that he's working and pray and ask him for what you need. Maybe you've heard something that was shared up here today. Maybe you've heard a specific thing and you're like, you know what, I need God to work in that way in my life. it may not even be the exact same scenario, but maybe you have something like deliverance that like Bud was dealing with, where it's like, I need God to just free me of this, just rid me of this right now today. Come forward and ask. Come forward and ask. Maybe you have something you're going through that maybe God's been working in, and you just need the faith. It's like the man who's waiting for his child to be healed, and Jesus said, it's done. Go home. And she's healed. And the guy said, Lord, help my unbelief. Like, I mean, you told me to go home and she'll be healed, but like, basically, I don't believe it. But if you said it, okay, help my unbelief. Maybe you're going through something and you just need God to help your unbelief, that like Christy's testimony, that he's continuing to work. He's continuing to work. He's not done with you yet. Maybe it's something like Cheryl's, where it's like you've failed God. You've not done what he's told you to do, and you feel like you're not worthy. But you know what? Of course you're not worthy. None of us are. Just like we are singing, we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But you know what? Because of God's great, amazing, tremendous love for you, he wants to bless you, and he wants to give you another chance, and he wants to do amazing things in your life. So if you would stand with me in this place. And Father, we just ask right now, Lord, we thank you for these testimonies, that God, this is praise of what you have done, what a mighty, powerful God, what he does when he intervenes in a person's life. Lord, we ask you right now to have your way. Lord, I ask for each and every person in this place that today you have your way with us today, that you set us free from things that we're dealing with, that you let us know that we are loved, that you have a plan, that Lord, you are still at work. We're believing for that today. We're believing for the miraculous. We're believing even testimonies like Jason, that you take something that doesn't even make sense and show us maybe even years down the road how it applies. But Lord, we don't want to put any limits on you, but today we want to have an encounter with you. Lord, we want to have an encounter with your life-changing spirit in this place today, that when we go out of here, that we can be encouragers, that we can be carriers of light, that we can be those that turn this world upside down for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so today, we close in giving you praise, because you are worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen.